Now, as you know, we're busy with a series on God's Word. I want to wrap it up this morning and move on next week to something else. There's this crazy story in the Old Testament that I want to start off with this morning. It's this prophet who passed away and left his wife with a whole lot of debt, so much so that there was no ways that she could repay it. The creditors started coming in and decided to take her two young little sons, little boys, take them as slaves. Now, just imagine that. You've lost your husband. You've got these two little boys to raise. Now they want to take, that's all you have. Now they want to take them as well. And so she turns to the prophet Elisha and she says, you know, my husband, you know my husband passed and he used to work with you. You know him well, knew him well, but he's left us with all of this debt. And I just don't know what to do and where to go with this. And so he says to her, all right, what do you have at home? And she says, we got nothing. He says, what do you mean? She says, we got nothing. What foodstuffs do you have? She said, we got nothing. I've literally got a little bit of oil. He says, all right, okay, I can work with that. And so that's all she has, just a little bit of oil in a jar. And so listen to what he says to her. He says, go around and ask all your neighbors, not some of them, all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. All right, this is very important. He says, get as much as you can. You know what he's saying to her, basically? He's saying to her, I'm giving you a heads up, create capacity. Create capacity. And that's going to be the line that we're going to keep looking at today. So turn to your neighbor and say to your neighbor, create capacity. All right, we'll get back to that, I promise you. Then he says to her, he says, listen to this, he says, go inside, just a little bit of detail, but it's interesting. He says, go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. He's basically saying something amazing is going to happen, and I don't want other people to see this. He says, pour the oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. And she left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. And they brought the jars to her. And she kept pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. Just imagine this. She's got this little jar and it just keeps flowing. I can just imagine those two little boys looking at their mom just filling these big containers with this little jar. And they look like, wow, we've never seen them. Mommy is doing magic today, all right? In their little minds, just think of that. And then when all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. And then the oil stopped flowing. And so she ended up taking all of that oil and selling it and covering her debt completely. And there was plenty left over. Afterwards, this is what I want you to see. It was her responsibility to create capacity through those containers. God's responsibility was to fill the containers, was to fill the capacity. She had to create it. God would fill it. Do you know it's exactly the same for you and me today? That it's our responsibility to create capacity and God will fill it. You say, now, what is that capacity that we create? Faith. Because the more faith you and I give God, the more God can fill, the more God can do breakthroughs, miracles. Without faith, we're not going to see any of that. And so we've got to give God capacity, create more faith for God, and then God will work in that area. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So then the question is, how do we create faith? You know, how do we build our faith? Well, listen to what the Bible says here in Acts chapter 20. It says, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance. What he's saying here, the word of his grace, God's word, will build you up. How does it build us up? It builds our faith. and it will give you an inheritance, not only one day in heaven, but right here on this earth. That inheritance is whatever it is that you and I need, whether it is a blessing or a breakthrough or miracle or whatever. So what he is saying is the Word of God builds our faith, and it's that faith that enables God to go to work on our behalf. And so your capacity for breakthroughs and miracles lie in your faith. That's the key. It's our faith. So let me try and explain it like this. If you need a breakthrough in some area in your life and you don't have faith, you're probably not going to have the breakthrough, because you're not operating in faith. You're not operating on a spiritual level. That's what faith is. You're operating in the natural. And you're thinking in the natural. And you're reasoning in the natural. Because all you're doing is, remember, there's no faith. So I don't have faith. I'm operating in the natural. I can't see how this is ever going to change. I can't see how I'll ever get out of this. This is crazy. What's the problem? I'm stuck in the natural. I'm stuck in this realm over here, and what I don't realize is that my breakthrough is not in this realm. It's in the supernatural. But I'm stuck in this realm because I'm not operating in faith. The moment you and I start reading the Word, guess what happens? It stirs our faith. Something rises and we move to that next level. We don't just get stuck on this level, but we move to the next level. We start moving onto a spiritual realm, as it were. That's what Jesus said here in John 6. He says, the words I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. That's what happens when you and I get into God's Word. That's why we said last week and the week before, God's Word is alive, all right? And so when you do that, something changes on the inside. Something changes in terms of your level of faith. So let me make this very practical. Let's say you're reading in God's Word, and you get to Philippians 4, verse 19. That's a scripture we all know so well, don't we? My God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. Now, if I had to ask you this morning, is there anybody here who has a need? Financial healing, there's a need. How many of you have a need? All right. Now, so let's say you're busy reading and you come across that. Now, only a fool reads that and says, oh, this is nice, closes the Bible, and 10 minutes later, they've forgotten about it. A smart person, a wise person, person who comes to Maranatha, all right, would read that same scripture and say, wow, this is God's Word to me today. This is exactly what I need. And then either write it down, take a picture of that, and they'll keep looking at that during the day. They'll remind themselves. What are they doing? They are meditating. That's what the scripture calls it. They are meditating on God's Word. And so they are now making that Word, that thing, their own. That's where scripture says, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. They didn't just read it casually, 10 minutes later forgot about it. They read it, wow, they took that, they meditate on it, they think about it, they read it again, they even memorize that scripture, and it becomes their own. And guess what happens? Now you're not operating in the natural realm anymore. It's like you've changed gears. Now you start operating in the supernatural realm. Because now when you start praying, you don't just pray the problem. You start praying the promise, because God, you've given me a promise here. You see, for too many people, they just pray the problem. When they come to God, God, you know, my child doesn't have a job. And God, you know, I'm so sick, I'm battling, look at my body. And God, my business is slow. And so what are they doing? They're bringing the problem. It's not wrong to bring the problem. We're supposed to bring the problem, but we're supposed to add the promise to the problem as well, not just give God the problem. Add the promise as well. How do we do that? God, my child needs a job. And you've said that the children of the righteous will be mighty in the land. And so, God, I'm looking forward to see what you're going to do, how you're going to open doors. God, I need healing. And you've said that by Jesus' stripes we are healed. You're restoring health unto me right now. Thank you for that, Lord. God, business is slow, and you've said that you will provide all of my needs, not some of them, all of them, according to your riches and glory. And so what are we doing there? We're reminding God of the promise. Can you see how important it is to know God's word? Now, of course, you know, this may seem intimidating because there's so much. Listen, you've got to have at least a handful of promises. Wait, when something happens, hang on. God's word says, and the moment I do that, faith wells up on the inside. And I'm moving, not just in the natural realm, but I start moving into a completely different realm. That's why the Bible says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Not in your Bible richly. In you, in your heart, and in my heart, let it dwell in us richly. We've got to get into God's word, because it's His word that builds our faith. It's His word that builds our faith. What does the Bible say? Where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. That's where faith comes from at the end of the day. And let me just say to you, that doesn't happen overnight. Your faith doesn't get built up because you heard it once in service, or because, you know, you read it once briefly and 10 minutes later you forgot about it. No. Faith comes by meditating on God's word. Let me show you here. In Joshua chapter 1, God says to Joshua, do not let the book of the law, it's this year, the Bible, do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. So in other words, He's saying, you need to know the word that you can even speak it. You can say, God, you say. He says, and then He says, listen, note this, He says, meditate on it. How often? Day and night. So that you may be careful to do everything written in it. He says, when you meditate on it constantly, you're going to obey it. And then the result, you'll be prosperous and successful. So notice He doesn't say, spend a little bit of time in God's word on a Sunday when you hear it. And if you have some time during the week, you know, if you can afford it, maybe once or so during the week, you know, in between your busy schedule, you know, maybe just read it once more. He doesn't say that. He says, you want to be prosperous and successful. He's giving us a key to life here. Some people just skim over it. They just, there's a key here. He says, you want to have success in your life. Remember that youngster that was reading the book of Proverbs every single day? All right? And this is what He's saying. You want to be prosperous and successful? Get into it daily. Don't just read over it. Read it, and when something stands out, take that scripture. Write it down. Meditate on it. Read it again. That's what it means to meditate on scripture. It means, because I don't know about you, I don't remember it when I just read it once and I close my Bible. I've got to either write it down, I've got to make a note on my phone, I've got to just read it again. Yeah, by the third time, sometimes the sixth time, then I remember it. But then what happens? Then it's not just words on a page anymore. Now it becomes God's word in my heart. It's mine. I own that. It's become a part of me. And I'll live with that scripture for the rest of my life. You see the difference? You see what happens when you start meditating on God's word? Let me give you quickly an example here from scripture, Old Testament. Remember the story of Daniel and the lion's den? Let me just give you a little bit of background. So the king at the time was King Nebuchadnezzar, a wicked king. Nebuchadnezzar really is seen as the Hitler of the ancient world. A power-hungry, very cruel king. And so he wanted to rule as vast an area as he could. He was from Babylon, modern-day Iraq, and he wanted to take over Egypt. Now, Egypt was the powerhouse at the time, and so he was going to take Egypt. But between Iraq and Egypt, of course, is this little country, this little nation, which at the time was Judah. And so he had to get past Judah to get to Egypt. And so he just quickly conquered them. But then what he did is he didn't take all the people into exile back to Babylon. He just took the top layer of society. He took the royal family, the noblemen, the court officials, and so on. And he just took that the cream, the top layer. And the reason was he wanted to integrate them, take the best, leave them poorer. They couldn't have an uprising. They didn't have leadership or anything. They'll be all right. And so take them and integrate them into his country and build it even as a better country. He took some of those young noblemen, and this is where Daniel comes in, put them through a three-year training program to integrate them into his society and so on, and they would serve in the courts there. And so here Daniel is in a foreign country, you know, with foreign heathen practices, and he just refused to compromise. Even with the food that they were eating, it was offered to idols. And he said, you know what, I'm not going to go there. And God honored him for that. Because you see, there are times where you and I find ourselves in a society, in a culture that's compromising. And sometimes we think we've got to go along with it just a little bit. We don't have to. If you'll honor God, Scripture says God will honor you. And so this is what Daniel did. He refused to compromise. He said, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. And God blessed him. So much so that Scripture says, you can go and check it out in chapter 1, verse 20, that God didn't give him double the amount of wisdom that the others had. God didn't give him three times the amount of wisdom, which would have put him here. God gave him 10 times the wisdom and the insight and discernment, 10 times. So in other words, there was just no comparison. I mean, anybody could see this guy's on another level altogether. And so guess what happened? The king just kept on promoting him again and again. But this made the local officials very jealous. And so they were like, this is crazy. This is, you know, and so they just wanted to get rid of him. And so they devised a plan to get rid of him. Now, I can't go into the whole story. We just don't have time. You can go and read it. But basically, what they did is he was going to receive the death penalty, which at the time was to go to the lion's den. And there, these hungry lions would maul a person, you know, alive. It was just so cruel and barbaric. But that's what they did back then. And that's why they say this king was like the Hitler of the ancient world. And so when this happened, it looked like these enemies had succeeded. And it looked like they had the upper hand. But let me just say to you, sometimes you and I will have enemies and it looks like they're getting away with it and it looks like they're succeeding, but God always has the final say, all right? It's not over until God says it's over. And just remember, just because you're a Christian, just because you're a good person, doesn't mean that you're not going to have enemies. We all have enemies. And so it may be somebody at the office who's just bad-mouthing you, causing a bit of disunity, or somebody trying to block you from getting a promotion, trying to, what are they? Are those your friends? They're your enemies, all right? And we're going to have enemies in this life. Doesn't mean you've done something wrong. Remember, Jesus had enemies, all right? Even Jesus had enemies. Not everybody was for him and, you know, rooted for him. And so listen to what the Bible says. This is how we're supposed to deal with these enemies. Never pay back evil pay back evil with more evil. Don't do that. And for us as guys, sometimes there's something that rises on the inside. I'll sort them out. And we start thinking thoughts we shouldn't be thinking. Even if it's the neighbor's dog that just doesn't stop barking, I start thinking the wrong thoughts, all right? I know you never do, but it says never, Leonard, pay back evil with more evil. I want to record their dogs. And we got some big speakers here. And put it on the wall. play it back 10 times as loud. That's your own dog, by the way. And the Bible says, Leonard, don't go there. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. In other words, take the high road. Take the high road. Do all that you can to live at peace with everyone. Never take revenge. And just in case you didn't understand what I was saying, he says, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. This is New Testament, by the way. Remember last week we were looking at New Testament, Old Testament, it's the same God. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. All right? So let me paraphrase that. God says, if you stay out of the ring, because you see, sometimes, man, I'm going to sort them out. And we get into the ring, and we want to box, and we want to sort it out. God says, if you stay out of the ring, I'll get in the ring. Okay, Lord, but you take so long to get in the ring. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 54. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. A paraphrase of that would be, no enemy that comes against you shall prosper. They'll come against you. They'll come against you, but they won't prosper. Remember that. All right. So let's just leave that. Just a thought around enemies. Don't get rattled when you have enemies and stuff go wrong in your life. God is on your side. Let's get back to Daniel. So Daniel is going to go to the lion's den. And the king is so distraught because the king became very fond of Daniel. And so the king says to Daniel secretly, he says, may the God whom you serve deliver you from the lion's den. And he turns and he goes back to the palace as they lead Daniel away to the lion's den. The Bible says that night he couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. He just tossing and turning. Early the next morning, he ran to the lion's den and he gets there and he starts calling out, Daniel, Daniel, my friend, has your God been able to save you? And he can't believe it when he hears a voice from the den coming back saying, yes, king, I'm fine, don't worry. These lions can't touch me. God closed their mouths. Listen to what the Bible says. The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him. And then it gives us the reason, because he had trusted in his God. Notice, wasn't because of his devotion to God, wasn't because of his dedication to God, it wasn't because he was such a great Christian and came to church every single Sunday, was because, what's the reason? He trusted. So in other words, he had faith in his God. He had faith, confidence. And God is looking for a people today who will have faith and confidence and trust. But I've got these enemies and they're quoting and they and God says, where's your trust? Where's your confidence? And we're facing some other challenge and God's saying, hey, where's your trust, man? Where's your confidence? You know, further on in that same book, we're looking at Daniel. In Daniel chapter 11, it says, and the people who know their God will be strong and do exploits. In other words, amazing things. The businessmen, the businesswomen who know their God. How do we know God? How do we get to know Him? You don't get to know God because you know somebody who knows God. You get to know God by getting into the Word. There's nothing that will reveal the nature and the character and the will of God more than the Scriptures and getting into the Scriptures. And so when you and I get to know God, we know what to expect from Him. We know. And so let's say, for instance, you're facing some enemy. It's okay. Because God says, as long as I don't get into the ring, He'll get into the ring. He will avenge. I know my God. It's fine. I'm not hassled about it. And so let's say you have some financial crisis. It's okay. My God has promised. There's a promise that He'll provide all of my needs according to his riches and glory. I'm not hassled by it. You're facing some health crisis. It's okay. By his stripes, I'm healed. I know it. I'm relaxed. And so somebody looks at you, but how can you know that? I know him. I know my God. The people who know their God will be strong and do exploits. But if you don't know God, and you don't know his character, you don't know his nature, it's not going to help you. And so if you've been married, for instance, for longer than 2 years, all right, let's say 10 years, 12 years, you pretty much know your spouse, all right? The ladies know the husband completely. Within the first 2 years, you know exactly. Likes us, doesn't like that, and doesn't really change. It just likes it, doesn't like that. For us as guys, we know them a lot better. It takes a whole lot longer, I'm telling you. Flip. The ladies, close your ears. They like onions. They are layers. And as you get to know them, you just think, and there's another layer. And another layer, I'm telling you. And we've been married 20 odd years. And let me tell you, that little onion over there. Flip. She's got layers. Now listen, when we got married, I didn't know her. I liked her. All right. She's a cute little onion. But I didn't know her. But with time, what happens? We get to know our spouses. We spend time, and it's exactly the same thing. It takes time to get to know God. It takes time, all right? You've got to get into the Scriptures and get into the Scriptures. That's why the Bible says, 2 Peter chapter 18, 3 verse 18, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so all I'm trying to do today is I want to say to you, it doesn't matter how long you've been serving the Lord, keep growing. Don't get stuck where you are. Get into the Scriptures and get to know God. Doesn't matter how long we've been married, all right? She knows everything, but I've still got a lot to discover. Keep growing, keep discovering. So basically what I'm saying to you this morning, increase your capacity. Increase your capacity. Give God more to work with at the end of the day. Let me give you another Scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1. Says this, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Notice that. Everything you and I need to live a godly life, we have. It's available to us. Here it is. We have received all of this. How? By coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. So what it's saying is, everything you and I need to live a godly life is connected to us knowing Him. Because the more we know Him, the more faith we have. Because He's dependable and trustworthy and faithful. And so we have greater faith the more we get to know Him. And so God can start working in our lives. Now, let me just give you a heads up quickly. You're going to get into God's Word, and there are going to be some mornings where you read God's Word, and it's almost like the verse off that page jumps off at you and hits you in the chest, and it's God speaking to you. And you know God is speaking to you. And then there are going to be other mornings, many of them, where it almost seems like you got nothing. All right? Is that just me, or is there some people, yeah, it's happened to you? All right. You get nothing. That's okay. Don't hassle about it. Please hear me. That's okay. You're going to have times where you read God's Word and it's like God speaks to you directly. That's that verse that jumps and you just know that's God speaking to me. And then there are going to be times where God speaks to you indirectly and you don't even realize it because He's speaking to you through the story of Daniel or through the account of whatever it is. And that is busy revealing the nature and the character of God. You start, but you've got to look for it. So sometimes it'll be directly, And other times it's indirect, but God is revealing to you and me. So when we get into the scriptures, I would recommend, go with expectation. Open the word expecting. God's either going to speak to me directly, or it's going to be more of an indirect message. And if you're not quite sure what God is saying, it's okay. Don't beat yourself up about it. Because there may be a treasure waiting for you tomorrow morning. And you get to that and it's like, bam, and it hits you in the chest. And you just know that was God speaking to me. All right, now, let me wrap this up for us. I said right in the beginning, it's our responsibility to create capacity. It's God's responsibility to fill that capacity. What is our capacity? Our faith. All right? And so God requires faith, needs faith to operate in our lives. Don't get stuck in the natural. Faith takes you from the natural to the supernatural, and that's where the breakthroughs lie. That's where the miracles lie. And so your capacity for breakthroughs and miracles lie in your faith. How do we build our faith? Through God's word. And so all I'm doing this morning is I want to encourage you, get into the word on a daily basis. You want to be prosperous and successful in this life. It's all here. It's all here. But we've got to be disciplined. And then when there's a scripture that stands out, meditate on it. It may even be a scripture that I've given you on a Sunday where you say, wow, I needed that. Write it down. Go and have a look. Meditate on it. Let God's word dwell in you richly. And I'm telling you, if you do that, you will be prosperous and successful this coming year in so many more areas, because that's where God can lead you, guide you, do miracles in your life. Has it been helpful? All right. Bless you. Come, let's stand. Can I share a secret with you quickly before we pray? You know what I've done this morning? I've shared one of the benefits of reading God's word. Because when you and I see that there's a benefit in something, even gym equipment, major benefit, or this tablet, I'll lose 10 kg, major benefit, what happens? We all want it, isn't it? I've shared one benefit with you. And so when you and I get into that, get into God's word, there's capacity. Father, thank you for your word. Now, I pray for all of us, including myself, give us a greater hunger for your word. We can't wait to sit down for a meal because we have a hunger for it and we enjoy it. And so I pray, Lord, that you give us a greater hunger for the word, that we won't be able to help ourselves. We want to sit down and just feast off the scriptures, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Amen. Bless you.